Welcome to the Health and Happiness Movement. I am Jennifer C., your host, and today, as part of the Health and Happiness Summit, I am excited to be speaking with TJ Nelson from Dominate Depression. TJ suffered from depression for 11 years. After trying various methods, he eventually overcame it without medication. He now helps others discover the root cause of their depression through coaching and writing at DominateDepression.com. Welcome, TJ.
Hey, good to be here.
Awesome. The goal of this summit is to focus on the whole body approach to mental health. And today, TJ is going to be focusing on our youth. TJ, you speak about how young you were on your blog, but what age were you when you started dealing with depression, and what challenges did you face?
Basically, I was in the fourth or fifth grade, which I forget the exact age, but that's around age 9 or 10, I believe.
Yep, I believe so.
And I remember it just started, I was just doing a lot of weird things that a young kid shouldn't be doing or thinking about. I had suicidal thoughts. One time I tried to overdose on melatonin when I was like 11. I didn't know what it was. I took a whole bottle and I just woke up the next day feeling refreshed. But did you ask what specific challenges youth face with depression?
Yeah. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, it seems like mood disorders are among the most common health problems experienced by children and adolescents. According to their research, it shows that half of all lifetime cases of mental illness begin by age 14. What challenges, you know, like you said, you started around 9. Do you think there was a cause, or was there certain challenges in your life that triggered it?
At that time, there wasn't any specific things that really triggered it. I did move and went to a different school, but overall, my childhood was very good. And at the time, my family situation was healthy. Had a lot of friends. I was doing good in school. So there wasn't any specific trigger that sent me off into the depression hole, but I honestly believe that my depression just started more randomly and then was deepened by life circumstances.
Why do you think you were able to come out of depression while others are still stuck?
So this one's always hard for me to answer, and it's just because I know for a lot of people in depression, if that person themselves isn't motivated at all to beat depression, I don't really know how to motivate them. And I find that people need to have some sort of want or desire to come out of depression. And I believe I was able to beat it because although I had hit multiple rock bottoms and I knew something was wrong, there was a very specific point when I literally just, I had enough and I just made a dramatic decision. And I was depressed. I was still messed up and isolated, moving around. And then one of my best friends, who he was more of a brother to me, I knew him for about 17 years, just suddenly died. And about 2 weeks after that, I was just sitting there, you know, isolating again and just being depressed. And it kind of hit me because for some reason, when you're depressed, everything, you distrust everything, so everything, you look at it with a skeptical eye, and I suddenly realized, because we have all these ideas about depression, we think we know about depression, but I was depressed, so obviously I didn't know everything there was to know about depression. So I was just sitting there, and I realized, okay, if I'm this depressed, everything I believed up to this point isn't the solution. And I came to that point where I just admitted I didn't know anything. I didn't know what was going on, and I just hit a breaking point. I sat down, and I was in so much pain. I just wrote that for 1 year, I put a date on there. I was going to try everything, and if a year later I was still depressed, I would kill myself. And as weird as it sounds, at the time I felt a very massive relief because I was kind of giving myself an out. The suffering continued, but I also opened my mind up to just try everything. There was nothing I didn't just throw away without looking at, just because I heard about it and it just sounded weird. I just, nope. I'm going to research that and see what that's about and see if it works. And in that state, I mean, I wouldn't recommend to people writing a suicide note to themselves, but I just, with my story, it just all finally clicked in my brain that I was going to do whatever it takes to beat depression. And so for a person, what was that?
You had come to almost like an end, a stopping point where you needed to make a decision, it sounds like.
Yes, and I just decided I was going to do whatever it took. I wasn't going to dismiss anything. I wasn't going to just not be open to an idea because it sounded weird. I just said I'm going to be open ears and look at everything with an open mind.
Mm-hmm. Did you try medication at all? Was that something you tried during that year?
Yes, I had tried little things like Paxil or Butrin off and on, but after that moment, about a month later, I actually decided to try just going the whole medication route and seeing a psychiatrist and everything, but that didn't work. That only would work in short bursts for a month or two at a time, and then later on, I actually found myself in a worse situation from the medication, and I had to start all over.
Do you think, sometimes I see it as almost an addiction as well. Do you see depression sometimes as an addiction by chance? And I know this sounds odd, but I had a good friend that once told me, don't get addicted to the pain. Do you find that was ever a cause that it was a comfort area for you, where you could almost fall back into that hole that place you were comfortable?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely degrees of that. But I think for me, in the deep depression, I was not addicted to that. There's mild forms that I might have been addicted to. I think it was more just because it was familiar to me. Other ways of living or feeling joy or being connected were unfamiliar to me, so it was uncomfortable. It was new areas that hadn't been there. So being depressed and acting that way was kind of safe, because if I went out and all of a sudden wasn't depressed anymore, people were going to react to me differently. But I think for me, maybe there was some self-pity that I liked to be in and feel bad about myself and those sort of feelings, maybe more because I thought self-pity would finally get people to give me attention, and I didn't know how to get love from people, and I felt like if people pitied me, then they cared about me, which isn't true. I didn't have anyone that if I was depressed would come and save me or do anything for me, so I didn't have that kind of addiction to being down and then having someone come and help you and take care of you. But I think the self-pity and the unfamiliarity with feeling good was kind of helped keep me in that state.
What about, and yours, you know, depression comes in so many different levels, but you hear it preached all the time. You just, you know, you need to get out there. You need to be thankful. You need to serve others. You need to get out there and help and stop focusing on yourself. Keep busy and just have that positive outlook all the time. Which is kind of hard to tell somebody who's in that depressed state to get up and do that, because they're not even thinking really that way. But does that help?
That's actually, I love this question, just because every depressed person I've ever talked to has always struggled with people telling them to snap out of it or think positive, shake it off, just go do something. And I think that telling someone to think positive, just go do something, just get out in the world and you'll feel better. I think that works for sadness, that works for feeling down. But for someone that's truly depressed and in that state of depression, that's not going to do anything. I tried that for many years before that breaking point where I thought, okay, it has to do with me, I'm a bad person, or my life sucks, and I got to do this and that. I mean, I tried everything. I was riding a bullet bike around, skydiving, and doing everything. And, I mean, I went skydiving one time, and I literally didn't feel anything after I skydived. And that's when I kind of was like, okay, I just went skydiving, and I didn't feel anything. Maybe there's a physical component to this. So with telling people to feel, to just think positive, that's, I would say that's something I would say to somebody that got fired from their job or had a bad day of work or is having relationship troubles and was just kind of watching movies home alone. Be like, hey, let's go out into the town, get your mind off things. That would work. But if somebody their thyroid's messed up and they're deficient in all these vitamins and they're stuck and trapped in this state for weeks on end, telling them to think positive isn't going to change that in any way.
Right. So you believe there's something deeper, like physiological. What was the approach that finally worked for you? What helped you start making the change?
What happened for me was I would just go to Barnes & Noble in a depressed state, and I would just start reading random books, and I came across a few books. There was one, Depression Free Naturally, Joanne Matthews Larson. There was one, Mood Cure by Julia Ross, and a few others. I started reading in there how a lot of depression is caused by physical reasons. So I just started really going after the root causes and looking at my body, taking tests. I mean, if I went back now knowing what I knew, I would have been a lot quicker. But what happened for me was I just took tests and my vitamin D was low. I took a test and my magnesium was low. I did hormone testing. My DHEA was low and estrogen was high and cortisol was a little weird. And I had slight adrenal fatigue. I tested out food allergies and realized that if I stopped eating gluten, that I wasn't so bloated and I didn't have as much anxiety. So once I corrected the vitamin D deficiency, the magnesium deficiency, suddenly I'm sleeping better. I start fixing the adrenal fatigue and I start getting my energy back, start eating really healthy. And then I just came to a point where I had healed my body and figured out some of the root causes of my depression. And then once I did that, then all of a sudden I'm waking up and I'm feeling grateful for the day and I'm feeling positive. I didn't have to force it to happen. I just was starting to feel good. And then all of a sudden I started to understand what people meant by, oh, remember the positive or think grateful, because my brain wasn't working properly. It didn't have the ingredients to work. It didn't have the right vitamins. And once I really took a whole body approach, that's when everything came together for me and I actually started feeling good and feeling like a normal human being.
So you were able to get to that point where you were able to be thankful. It didn't get you out of the depression, but you got to normal to where, okay, you could start living life a little bit.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's awesome. So I know we've spoke about this a little bit, but what are some of the myths surrounding depression, and how do they prevent people from beating it?
I would say we just talked about one of the biggest myths is that depressed people just need to snap out of it. I would say that's one of the most prevalent myths in society, and I don't think depression has anything to do with thinking positive or willpower. I mean, when you say the word depression, it can mean a lot of different things, and you might have to define the word as depression as being in that trap state for more than 2 weeks of feeling down. But I think the myth that positive thinking is the cure is one that held me back for so long, and trying all these affirmations and thinking I'm amazing, every mental trick just made me feel worse about myself because I was like, oh, I can't do this, something wrong with me. And then I just was more depressed. With that, I actually try to tell people, I call it reality thinking. So instead of trying to think positive, I just take people in reality and work with that and tell people they just get to trust their own selves and how they feel. Don't disassociate from your feelings. And if you feel bad, don't try to just think something positive. Even though in reality you don't feel very good, you got to trust that. And instead, if you have a negative thought, just take it in reality. Like if you think, nobody likes me, if you actually ask, is that actually true? In reality, well, some people do like me, so I don't, that thought's just a thought coming out of depression. I would say another big myth is that is people always told me that depression was a disease. So I would see doctors or psychiatrists, and they would just look at me and say, hey, TJ, look, depression's a disease. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. You just have to take medication, like somebody has to take insulin or any other medication, and that's just the way it is. And I think believing that depression is a disease is just going to trap people in that cycle, because then it's just, oh, I have depression and I'm screwed for the rest of my life. And now I personally believe that depression is a symptom. So if you figure out, I mean, depression isn't just caused for no reason. I don't really, I mean, I'm not anti-medication. Most people might think that just because I promote overcoming depression without medication means I'm against all medications. If someone chooses to take medication, I just urge them to look deeper at all the symptoms. I don't think depression is caused by Prozac deficiency. But if you have depression, I see depression as a symptom of something else. So if you figure out what is causing the depression and then you fix that, the depression will lift. So I had all these doctors telling me, TJ, you have a disease and you got to take medication for the rest of your life, but that's simply not true, because I haven't taken medication, I haven't taken even a lot of supplements for a long time, and I'm depression-free. So I'd say depression is a disease is a big myth in our society that I just don't quite believe.
So you were able to go in and heal the root cause.
Yes.
Now, you, it took a little while. I think I remember reading off of your blog that you actually went to college for psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after that that you started addressing your symptoms, and you wrote the letter and you went after for a cure to see whatever you could do, try anything. Did you live pretty much your whole teen years then in that depressed state?
Did I lose all of my teen years in that depressed state? Is that what you said?
I apologize, live. Did you live throughout your whole teen years in a depressed state? Were you unable to get through it during the teenage years?
Yeah, so my teenage years were full of depression, and it wasn't every single day was the deep, dark, crippling depression, but there was an underlying depression pretty much the entire time. Maybe I had a few glimpses here and there feeling good, but overall the depression was prevalent throughout. And I mean, in junior high, I was just completely depressed, isolated, social anxiety all the time. If I had to talk to anybody, my face would go red and I just felt horrible. I just kind of thought it was some kind of, oh, I'm a teenager, so I just, you know, I'm going through mood problems or whatever, and that's the way it is. I didn't realize it wasn't normal. And, I mean, all I wore was black. I later dyed my hair black, and I was just, like, really pale, and all I wore was black. I think I had, like, gray shirt as well. And then in high school, I did have some friends. I was having some fun, but I was still severely depressed and got into drugs to mask the pain. And, I mean, I was just trying everything to feel something and not be depressed. I just battled with it my entire teenage years. I didn't get to do the whole go to high school, have fun, go to school dances type of things. It's more me just in survival mode.
I think that is probably about the norm for 50%+ of high school kids. As well, what specific challenges do you have in figuring out how to beat depression?
I would say, I mean, lack of really having anybody to that they can trust to tell what's going on in the first place. And I mean, when you and there's a lack of people that could really guide you down the right path. So, I mean, when I was young, you kind of look to authority figures, parents, and peers on how to solve problems and get help. I mean, first off, when I was that age, you try to express how you feel, and people wouldn't quite believe me or think I was exaggerating or being dramatic. So for one, no one really knew the real suffering I was experiencing, and then nobody really knew how to actually fix depression. You're kind of told, oh, if you're depressed, you just snap out of it, or you take medication, and that's it. And that's what most people know or grow up knowing. It's not like when I was 16 and I tell a friend or somebody, hey, I'm feeling depressed, and they go, well, have you checked your magnesium levels, and have you eaten, eat healthy food? Like, no one's going to say that. And I only discovered that later, just reading a random book at Barnes & Noble I didn't even know existed. So the average young person, if they are depressed, I don't know how they're going to find out these alternate routes or about eating healthy. I mean, they're going to school and they get these school lunches with all this processed food, or they're just buying food out of the vending machine. So in first place, no one's going to really know what to do, or it might be hard to find a safe person that will understand. Another thing, I mean, the confusion about nutrition, what's actually healthy. I mean, as a youth, I thought fries, burgers, and processed milk was normal, or eating cereal in the morning was normal. Everybody just wakes up and eats cereal. So, I mean, imagine that with the peer pressure or in their peer groups, a teenager trying to, and everyone's ordering pizza, and they're like, no, I'm going to eat a salad with maybe a sweet potato, or I'm going to go get some grass-fed cheese. I mean, no one's going to really, I don't see myself back then. It might have been hard to go that route when everybody's eating McFlurries and Big Macs. And then, I mean,
well, and a chicken nugget meal and fries was like a well-rounded meal too, right?
Yeah.
You had your protein and your carbs.
Actually, me and my friends, we ate lunch at McDonald's every single day. And then when we all kind of later realized how bad that was. And we actually had a joke. Now we don't call it McDonald's. We call it McDeath. So,
yeah. I always cringe when I see a mother giving their child soda, and
yep,
like that's the worst thing you can do, you know. And you had touched on it briefly, the cortisol levels, but it's so true, especially it's huge in women as well, that when you're exposed to stress, your cortisol levels are going to go out the roof. That's going to cause cravings for sugar and carbs, which is the exact opposite of what your body actually needs to control that.
Yep.
And that causes depression all over, and more stress. So especially for young adults going into high school, I have a son that's 15, and the stress that goes with it, their bodies are already out of whack. Plus, you're growing and always hungry. And carbs are a lot of times the quickest and easiest thing to get. But it sounds like when it comes to depression, and especially with our youth, that the role models or the parents are the ones that are going to have to really step it up as far as educating. Because you're right, you go into a school cafeteria, the sodas they have, and I know this was a big push, they took out all the regular sodas and put in diet sodas, which soda is bad enough. Then you put them in diet, and you're going to make it even worse.
I didn't know they did that. That's funny, though.
That was Michelle Obama's push, though, that came around when she went into office with her husband.
They replaced all the regular soda with diet soda?
Yes, that was healthier. That was the healthier decision.
The aspartame is healthier.
Right. But
I guess that's another thing, too, is, I mean, just real quick, I mean, a lot of healthy foods, I mean, a lot of unhealthy foods disguise themselves as healthy by saying diet or organic or gluten-free, even though they're still highly processed and unhealthy. So that's just a whole other thing to confuse young people.
Right. It's true. And just because it says natural, really, there's
yeah.
That doesn't mean much at all. And when you look at a product, if it says organic, from my understanding, only one ingredient needs to be organic for them to label it organic.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend the other day, I've been helping him cut down on soda, and he was drinking a soda. I was like, hey, what's that? And he's like, oh, this one has real sugar in it. It says it right here. I just laughed.
Yeah. So what, from your point of view, and again, I think it comes down to parents taking the initiative and educating themselves and being parents, first off. I think being a parent, I am one of two. I have a 15-year-old boy. You can't be faint of heart, and it takes a lot of work. I've always said that you give up your own life when you have a child. So it's a serious undertaking. I don't know if you have kids, but when you decide to have children, your life will it's second or third or fourth. So there's definitely, I think, a lot of the responsibilities do fall on parents. What can a parent or a role model in a child's life do to help depression or avoid it? And I know we've talked about the food part of it, but I know something also that I even deal with my 15-year-old is I will have a healthy meal planned out. I will have meal plans. I will send him lunch. I will do everything. But unless he makes the choice to want to eat correctly, he's going to still get food that and nutrition that's not going to be the best for him. He'll find it. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's a huge thing to overcome as well. But what else, I mean, as far as, you know, give them direction or first off, teenagers already think they know everything. I know I did. But if there was something you could have said that would have helped or gotten through, do you know what that is, or is that still a mystery?
I think if for me back then I was, you know, the rebellious youth, I'm going to do what I want. So if someone, I mean, going the healthy eating route, I think if someone was going to persuade me to do that, it would have to be like them or a parent or something, them just eating healthy themselves, having fun and feeling good, but almost maybe just doing it and getting results, but not for like selling it on me at all, because then I'd probably just get curious and I'd want to be like, hey, you know, let me try some of that. I want to join in. Or if I was making a kid food, I would make it taste good or maybe seem like, you know, just some kind of food they want, but I'd be sneaking in sauerkraut or anything in there, or replacing, or if they have a sweet tooth, I'd replace sugar with stevia or xylitol. I think if a role model just, and also back then, I think if someone really just listened to me and understood me without telling me what to do or without trying to persuade me to do anything, I think would have made a big impact, because for the depressed person, especially back then when no one knew what was going on, if someone just actually listened to my experience and heard it, that would probably make a massive difference in and of itself. Just because, I mean, I've never been a parent, but I'm guessing that, you know, as a parent, you see your kid suffering, I mean, you want to solve it and fix it and put a Band-Aid on the wound, but I think for me, I just wanted somebody to hear what was going on and validate my experience as being real. So I think being more just a friend and listening and maybe having fun with, not like, hey, you need to eat healthy or you're going to screw yourself up. I wouldn't have listened, but it's just like they're eating healthy and it's tasting really good. They're having a good time and they listen to me and like me or something, then I'm probably going to get curious and want to join in. Or I think that would be a better route than just trying to tell a young person what to do.
So lead by example.
Yeah.
And then I like what you were saying, when just to really listen to them. And that's something that I change. It's been a progress in changing with my son is doing that, is stopping and listening. There's so many times as a parent that you want to jump in and just fix it. And from what it sounds like you were saying, sometimes you just need to be there, not try to fix it, but give them a voice and let them
yes.
let them speak and acknowledge that what they're going through is real. It's just not some phase, but it's a real
yes.
issue.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
And nutrition, that is huge, huge. I can't ever stress that enough. That is something, that passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
That is there anything else that you would, or having gone through it yourself, that wish your parents may have done, or a role model in your life?
If someone, it would have been nice to, I mean, if I was still in that way, just for someone to introduce to me the whole health aspect of it, and maybe just take me down and get a bunch of tests done. I wish I would have done tests on myself so much sooner, like vitamin D, B vitamin levels, hormone levels, thyroid, complete blood count, cholesterol, and just take me down and test all of that stuff, and even look at digestion, and maybe also, since, I mean, it's when you're depressed, it's so hard to take initiative and put yourself out there socially. Maybe if someone could have helped push me a little bit, or helped me get involved more in maybe volunteer projects or groups or anything that I enjoyed, and got me involved with other people, just because if you have that strong sense of community or sense of belonging, your ability to cope with life and develop emotionally will be way better off. And I mean, I think a lot of youth are going to gravitate towards that naturally and on their own, because they want to be with people, want to interact. But if you're depressed and feeling down, that's going to be a huge step. So maybe if a loving person guided me down the health rabbit hole, maybe just took me in, got a bunch of tests and figured out if I had any deficiencies, and then helped support me and maybe pushed me a little bit to join some communities or projects just to get myself out there, that would have benefited me a lot.
Awesome. Well, that's good. That's, as a parent, it's, anything helps. So hearing from somebody that has gone through it, it definitely is, it's important. One quick last question. How does someone stay depression-free long-term and not relapse over and over? Is it kind of what we've been covering, just staying on top of that nutrition, getting involved, or is there anything else?
Yeah, I would say it's going to be the learning process, and in the beginning there's going to be a lot of trial and error when a person's first, like, coming out of the depression and really learning how to fix it. And I've stayed depression-free long-term just because I figured out the root causes of my depression, and then I just continually take care of myself. So I really got to know myself, my mind, my body. I really learned what made me feel worse, what made me feel better, which foods do I feel good after I eat, which foods give me brain fog. I really just got in tune with that. I mean, I took the test. I saw the raw results. I still test my vitamin D levels every 3 to 6 months, make sure they're in range, and I just have those daily habits. So I think once someone has the tools and they've discovered what the root causes are and how to fix it, how to take care of themselves, it just kind of becomes automatic at that certain point. Like, if I went out and just started eating candy and sugar and like gas about every day, then I would start feeling worse. But the thing is, I mean, there was a few weeks ago, just for fun, I just kind of experimented. I'd never eat sugar, but with my friend in Las Vegas, we went and got a little ice cream, and afterwards, I just felt, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a good reminder why I stopped eating this. I think if somebody goes through that process of learning what makes them feel good and what doesn't, over time, they're just going to know, okay, this is how my body works. This is where, these are the things I need to do to take care of myself. And once you know that, then all it takes is just that maintenance of making sure you're eating healthy and doing the things you need to do to stay on top of it.
Do you believe you have found your passion as well? And do you think that plays a part in your mental health?
Yeah, I think having a purpose and something to look forward to plays a huge role. I don't think it's necessary to have some burning passion or some big project to not be depressed, because when I first beat depression, I didn't have my website. I didn't have the story online or anything like that. I just was feeling good, and I was like, hey, I've been depression free for so long. I want to go spread the news. And I know a lot of people that don't have a purpose or don't have a passion. They're not the happiest people in the world, but they're not depressed either. But I think having something to look forward to, or if you have some sort of meaning in your life, then it's going to give you so much more fuel to accomplish what you need to accomplish. So if one depressed person is just like, I just kind of want to feel better, and that's their motivation for being depression, yeah, they can still probably be successful. But if someone's depressed, and they've been depressed, and they've just looked at themselves, and they just have this burning desire, I want to beat depression so that I can go, you know, build schools in Africa, or I want to beat depression just because I have my friends that are depressed, and I want to be the one that becomes depression-free and be an example for other people to show this is what's possible. Then I mean, obviously those people are going to have way more drive and way more chance of success and wake up in the morning with looking forward to the day. But I think having a purpose is really important. Everyone should strive for that, but I don't think it's a necessary requirement to be depression-free.
Well, TJ, this has been some great information, and I really want to direct everyone to TJ Nelson's website, www.dominatedepression.com. If you have not checked it out, please do. TJ, is there anything you want to really bring attention to, maybe highlights on your site?
The most people that go to my site go there just because they want to get off antidepressants, and I have a post I wrote that became really popular and all over Google about how to get off antidepressants. But I would also encourage people when on the sites to look around, really see all the different options out there and really see all the different avenues and different root causes of depression, just so, you know, you're going through, you might be reading something and you'll see, I've had those symptoms before. I didn't know that existed. Oh, wait, maybe pyroluria. That looks like a lot of the symptoms I've been experiencing. Maybe that's something that's the root cause of my depression. So I just encourage people to really look around and see what fits them, and just so that it opens their mind to all the different possibilities and root causes of depression. Because once you figure out what's causing your depression, then all you got to do is fix it and you're on your way.
And TJ, you do coaching as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that's available also on your website if somebody needs help along their journey.
Yeah, I offer a program that shows people all the different root causes, symptoms, and what they can do to overcome it. And then also I do offer the one-on-one coaching, and how that works is people can sign up and send me an email through a contact form, and then we can get on Skype or the phone for 20, 30 minutes and see if it's a good fit. And if it is, we can work together. And if not, I can direct people to where they can go to get the help they need. So it's not like a traditional, you come in through a therapist intake session or whatever. It's more just seeing where they're at, seeing if I can fix their situation or contribute in some way, and then seeing if we want to work together. So it's a little different than most things out there, but I just put it out there because a lot of people were emailing me like, hey, I just want to work with somebody that's been there. I want to talk to someone on a weekly basis to keep me on track. So that option does exist.
Perfect. And like you said, sometimes people just need to be listened to. So a lot of times having that avenue to voice what they're going through, sometimes that's just the first step.
Yep, that's a big first step, too.
TJ, thank you again for being a part of the Health and Happiness Movement. Please remember again to check out TJ's website, www.dominatedepression.com. Thank you, TJ. And again, this has been Jennifer C. and TJ Nelson with the Health and Happiness Summit. Thank you, TJ.
Thank you.